Welcome to Stop the Presses. It's Monday, May 16th, 2022. Your host, Mark Anderson, coming back to you live. And there's been some tumultuous things going on in the U.S. of A. Mysterious, nebulous, controversial, doesn't even begin to describe it. Quick note, this morning I covered virtually, online that is, a Chicago Council on Global Affairs program. That's the former Chicago CFR. And they're in the thick of things, dealing with what they call global health security and future pandemics, quote unquote. And they're saying there's going to be more pandemics and more vaxes and all sorts of things. A World Bank initiative is apparently underway to fight the current and future pandemics. An IMF initiative is apparently underway to battle the current and future pandemics. These are becoming needful things. Understand that we got to have our pandemics or we can't function.
Right.
In an ironic way, that's sort of true. And so I'm just beginning to cover this. It's still unfolding, but I covered it this morning. So watch an American Free Press and some other outlets, including this one, RBN, for more on that in the near future. The main person there in the three-person program, one moderator and two guests, was Helen Clark, the former Prime Minister of New Zealand, an on-again, off-again globalist in these sorts of issues. Lots going on there, much to watch for. I'll keep you updated. Anyway, I'm back also, Sound the Trumpets, with Ron Avery. He's video simulcasting. That's something we had to take a break on because he was busy with some other matters. So you might say we're back in the saddle. Good afternoon, Ron.
Hey, Mark. Good to be back, too. I've been gone, too. What, a couple of weeks?
You hitched your horse. Your horse is hitched, right? You're no longer riding.
That's right.
And now you're taking a rest. In a way, that's the opposite of back in the saddle. Or maybe we could say it the other way. You're on the horse, and now you're moving. Either way.
That's right.
Well, anyway, who can resist talking about yet another nebulous, mysterious shooting event? I'm sure other RBN hosts couldn't resist it either, but Ron and I tend to have our rather unique take on things, we like to believe. And, of course, this happened very recently. I'll show some mainstream media, mass media cartel news posts about this. But a young man, the story goes, allegedly 18 years old, this young man allegedly went into a grocery store in Buffalo, New York, and killed 10 or 11 people, reportedly most of them African-American, one or two European-American, those that are euphemistically called whites these days, as if whites have no ethnic roots whatsoever. But at any rate, there is a lot not to believe, and there is a lot to examine, and it's a legal matter, it's a constitutional matter, it's a journalistic matter, it's a criminology matter. But ultimately, it always comes down to the great difficulty there is to believe in what the mass media cartel is saying. There's so much they don't say. There's so many questions they don't ask. And that's just one important part of the puzzle. So here we are. We're presented with another shooting. There's been several lately. There's been some sort of shooting event in Milwaukee. But a Southern California church, mostly an Asian community, we're told. But the one that is being compared to this one that just happened in Buffalo, New York, is the one that happened in March 2019 in Christchurch, New Zealand. And in both of those, the New Zealand one and the Buffalo, New York one, we're told that the shooter, the alleged shooter, proactively wrote a manifesto. And, of course, it's always a far right-wing manifesto, and the manifestos are written ahead of time and are posted evidently in both cases before the bullet started flying. Of course, we have to be careful about what actually happened at all. And then the shooters, the alleged shooters, are said to be following a ideological plan. They're not just venting their angst. They're not just taking out some old rival or old enemy and mixing a few other people in with it. It's said to be a political political attack, a politically charged or ideologically driven attack, always from the far right, and pretty much always centering somewhere around the themes of race and gender. And in this case, in the Buffalo, New York case, the shooter is said to have been angry about massive uncontrolled immigration and what's called the Great Replacement Theory. But as Ron and I were talking about off the air, naturally, RBN listeners know better than most that you have to be extremely careful what you believe here. But there are pertinent universal type questions and also specific questions to this case that need to be asked that the mass media cartel will either rarely ask or will never ask. And they it goes so many directions, but the main point is that whatever happened, if we take what happened at face value in Buffalo, New York, then all that happened in terms of what should be punished was someone broke the law against killing another person, and that's called murder. Murder is illegal. It's been illegal a long time. God put it in the Ten Commandments. So if someone murders someone else with a knife, with a gun, with a bowling ball, with a car, however they do it, first degree, second degree, and if they can be proven to have done it in a court of law before a jury of their peers, this is the United States Republic, or at least it was after all, then they can be sentenced, convicted, and all that of the crime of murder and pay for it that way. But should we pay for it with the diminishing of our First Amendment and Second Amendment rights? The answer, of course, is no. The rest of the population should not have the crime of diminishing their rights be a penalty for the crime of another, that being murder.
Right.
And Ron, go ahead and show the same mugshot you're showing for me, and go ahead and chime in on that. We should not pay a constitutional price for someone, allegedly, because one more comment. This person has only been tried in the mass media cartel's court of public opinion, but not only tried, essentially convicted. The only thing the media can't do is sentence someone. If they could, they would. So they try to turn the pages really quick on these sort of things and say this guy really already stands guilty and his ideology is clear for all to see. So anyone that touts that same ideology by association is a would-be shooter, a would-be murderer. Therefore, that ideology, in this case opposing massive immigration, illegal immigration, that ideology must be bad. Therefore, we must have open borders. There's this therefore, ergo going on all the time. But the real analysis of what really happened, there's no real questions about, is the media getting an official police report on this? They always say, official said, the police chief said, the sheriff said, not according to a detailed police report or according to a preliminary police report, something in writing. That's never cited. It's just there's this quick rush to judgment, and then the penalty isn't even so much about the shooter as it is about the rest of us. So take it from there, Ron. That's kind of my soapbox at this point in time on today's show.
Okay. Yeah. From my point of view, let's just presume that the guy that they have really did the shooting. And, he did the crime. And he really did write this manifesto. And he really does want regulation of the borders according to the law, and he doesn't want America mixed with the New World Order or to undergo something called a new reset, all done with outside the law. It's incongruent to me that a guy who is upset that the nation will not follow its laws, not enforce its constitutional laws, would go out then and break the law, knowing that that does not advance his goal of law enforcement. I mean, it's just flat incongruent. So it's like somebody else wrote his script. How did he end up after being so smart and wants constitutional law against what's happening to the country? He goes out and breaks the law. And then what? The next thing that I don't like is the idea that all these people are standing around examining his ideology when what he did is kill 10 people. I don't really care what his ideology is. His ideology should not even be important. They should say, this guy killed 10 people. We're going to try him for murder. We're not going to overthrow the law. We're not going to overthrow the Second Amendment or alter it because this guy shot some people. You can't commit a greater crime, as you said. I think you were saying, I'm going to say it a little differently. You can't violate or commit a greater crime to fix another crime. This guy killed 10 people. That's a crime. That's murder. That's even mass murder. But you don't disarm the American public. You don't disarm the American people and make them totally vulnerable to abject tyranny. You don't do that in response to a crime of murder. I mean, that's a greater crime. That's even a greater crime than killing 10 people. And, you know, you never hear any kind of analysis like this from government or from the mass media cartel. They don't touch it. And it makes you wonder then, are these people players? And what's the idea? Again, we go back to, here's a guy that kills 10 people. Then all of a sudden you've got 2,000 people and the mass media cartel and a bunch of senators and a bunch of people in politics are saying, we need gun control. We need to slow down these high capacity magazines. We need to pick up AR-15s and AK-47s. We can't have that. No, that's joining. See, that's alteration of the law. And they're using this guy's violence to attain it. Well, that's nothing more than a conspiracy to alter the law of the land using violence. That's called terrorism. And funny thing is, under the laws of the United States, they could be tried for that. They could end up being responsible for those 10 murders. Even though they didn't know the guy, if they saw the design, and they're using that design, the murder of 10 people, to accomplish their goal of alteration of the law, using it. That's just flat out terrorism, and they all should be tried for the murder of 10 people. See, that we've kind of set up a society where people are using crimes to alter the Constitution, other people's crimes. You can't have that. It shouldn't even be a discussion. Nobody should even be talking about high capacity magazines or AK-47s or any of that, or even the border. What does the protection of our land at the border have to do with this nut job killing 10 people? And I don't care whether it was really for it or against it. But it's very suspicious that all these criminals that are out killing people have these notions that they want their land protected. They want borders. They don't want foreign governments intervening in ours. They don't want entanglements with foreign countries. They don't want to become part of a new world order. None of that stuff's lawful. It's all against the law.
The institution of a new world order, which is a somewhat worn out phrase, with the express purpose of replacing what's left of the American Republic, is itself, of course, an extremely subversive, illicit, conspiratorial enterprise. And whether this guy really wrote this manifesto or it's really attributed to him, if it's merely attributed to him and he didn't necessarily write it, we don't know the answer to that yet. And this is the thing, is with the media jumping to conclusions, we don't have the proper lawful process when someone is accused of murder of a trial and testimony, finding out if he really did write it. And the thing is that people, especially the way the mass media cartel reports something, people have trouble, or at least they're led away from the idea of separating the message from the man. So they're trying very hard to associate opposition to illegal immigration, largely unregulated illegal immigration. They're trying to associate that all they can with violent acts like, murdering someone with a firearm. So they're trying to taint and diminish and discredit opposition to illegal immigration itself by implication. And we don't know that this guy actually wrote this manifesto. That hasn't been proven yet, but they're basically saying, again, he's been convicted in the court of public opinion, and now they'll attack the First Amendment just like the Second. They're talking already in this New York Times article. I'm now showing this on the share screen. We're doing the video simulcast. We're back to that today, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, listening live and on the archive, livestream.com/Ryan Avery/stop the presses. And I'm showing a New York Times piece from May 15th. This is yesterday. And after Buffalo shooting, reads the headline, video spreads because this alleged shooter, 18 years old, supposedly had a video cam on his helmet and shot live stream video. So here's the headline again. After Buffalo shooting, video spreads, the video of the shooting, social platform space questions. And this article, as expected, the very first paragraph refers to the Christchurch, New Zealand shooting and mass shooting, as they called it, and is right away it's drawing parallels. And this Peyton S. Gendron is the 18-year-old alleged shooter in Buffalo, New York. Peyton, P-A-Y-T-O-N, S like Sam, Gendron or Gendron, G like girl, E-N-D-R-O-N. So that's the name of this alleged shooter. And so right away, going through the court of public opinion, he's accused, he's convicted, basically. And already they draw the parallels to Christchurch, New Zealand. And basically what this article goes on to say is that, for instance, here, mass shootings and live broadcasts raise questions about the role and responsibility of social media sites in allowing violent and hateful content to proliferate. Many of the gunmen, that's plural, in the shootings, plural, have written that they developed their racist and anti-Semitic beliefs trawling online forums like Reddit and 4chan and were spurred on by watching other shooters stream their attacks live. And this article goes on to talk about, here it says too, we're getting into the break, but we'll catch this on the other side. And I know we have a caller, but the article gets into questions about live streaming itself and just what social media companies should do to police and monitor and limit live streaming and just how much this would intrude upon free speech. So this is both a First and Second Amendment issue. And the media, rather than looking into the shooter, rather than getting detailed police reports, instead looks at ideology.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Every day we roll from town to town. We see another mom, papa just getting shut down. And it's the same five stores everywhere we go. And it's the same damn music on the radio.
Welcome back to Stop the Presses. We're in that short segment before the bottom of the hour and station ID. Still got the New York Times post on the Buffalo, New York shooting up on the screen for those that want to look at the video part of this that goes to livestream.com/Ryan Avery/Stop the Presses. Of course, reading these things for audio only listeners. We do have a caller. We'll get to you in just a sec. One more paragraph here that kind of buttresses what I was saying. The New Pork Times adds, quote, social media and content moderation experts said Twitch's quick response, that's the platform that the alleged shooter used to live stream his shooting, we're told, Twitch's quick response to get it off the air was the best that could reasonably be expected. But the fact that the response did not prevent the video of the attack from being spread widely on other sites also raises the issue of whether the ability to live stream should be so easily accessible.
Wow.
Now, that is a very broad statement there, Ron.
Yes.
Note the word, the ability to live stream. It's talking in general. And so they keep pushing the camel's nose into the tent a little further, to keep trying to use these shootings, real or imagined, staged, whatever they are, to push back against the First and Second Amendment rights that are a cornerstone of this country. And
well,
it just
we're to say that we don't think there ought to be camera shootings talking to these people or talking to people at the crime scene. That ought to be all just police work and reported. They shouldn't allow cameras all around that kind of stuff right after it happens to interview people and go, why not that? Why not stop all that so the newspapers and major networks can't put all their spin on the stuff?
That's true. There needs to be more control and a much more disciplined approach to investigating these things and not announcing things prematurely until they have something more solid, that would help. You're absolutely right. Let's go ahead and take the call. Melissa from Maryland. You with us, Melissa?
Hi there. Did I finally get on?
Yeah, there was a slight delay. Go right ahead.
No, I was patiently waiting, so I was trying to figure out what the status was. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
I'm not going to try to stump you with this, but I've got a question I think that you can handle. Am I allowed to go off topic and talk about the currency, or would you prefer I call back another time?
In the short amount of time we have before the bottom of the hour, I'd rather stick to the topic. Something like that can kind of go into the weeds a bit and take a while. If you want to get more general like that, you'd have to wait till after the bottom of the hour. But do you have anything to say about the Buffalo, New York, or the media, or the police, or any of that?
No, not at this time. So would you prefer that I hold?
I suppose. Again, if it's about the currency in general, I don't want to go too long, just so we don't lose the focus. But by the same token, this show is not rigidly controlled, and people go off topic from time to time. So kind of hit it in the middle.
Okay, well, does that mean that you want me to proceed now?
Well, you could start now and then add just a little bit more after the station ID want to do it.
Okay.
Answer her question. We don't want to stay on it very long. We could probably hear it and answer it before the break.
You have heard of the Bureau of Printing and Engraving, haven't you?
Oh, naturally, yes.
Okay. I'm not sure whether they're part of the Department of the Treasury or not, but I basically got two questions about BPE. My first question is, are they responsible for the production of all of the currency or just some of the currency? Because they're responsible for the currency on record, but I wonder if off the record, if there are other producers of the currency. Because my second question is, I wonder if they have an on-the-record or off-the-record budget, or both, if they have both an on-the-record and off-the-record budget, because somebody is supplying all of our alphabet agencies with currency to work with, and I wonder if it's the BPE totally, or if they get on-the-record and off-the-record currency, meaning that BPE makes some of the currency but not all of the currency. And you know, also the second question about BPE's budget, if it's 100% on the record or if they have an on the record and an off the record budget. That's basically the nuts and bolts of the question, if you understand it.
Yeah, I do. I'm not the expert on it, but I know that the Federal Reserve basically sublets the Bureau of Engraving and Printing and the coinage part of it. That's the other half, you might say. But the U.S. coins are more of a treasury production, and the dollar bill of any denomination.
That's it.
Simple smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're muted, Mark. Can't hear you.
Had it muted. Sorry, had to do something here. Apologies, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Anderson returning to the show here, second half, May 16, 2022. And Melissa from Maryland is on with us. I looked up a little something. I can't spend a lot of time with this today, Melissa. It's a little off topic, but U.S. currency, this is the Treasury's own statement. U.S. currency is produced, of course, by the BPE, Bureau of Engraving and Printing, and U.S. coins are the U.S. Mint. Both organizations are Department of Treasury bureaus. But I do understand, and I think I understand it correctly, that the printing of currency, which is actually a combination of linen and cotton, it's not paper in the strictest sense of the word, is basically sublet by the Federal Reserve. They sublet the presses. But the coins are more of a direct Treasury production. And I'm not going to get into any more detail than that. Is that all you wanted to know, or was there some other aspect of it? Melissa still with us?
Probably not.
If you're still listening, Melissa, that's the answer to that question. We are going to move on. Now, Ron, I took down the shared screen item from the New York Times. It's pretty typical. I don't really want to show any other mass media cartel confetti right now.
And, well, I have a video if you want to hear just some comments that these, what I would call co-conspirators in using violence to alter the law of the land. If you want to hear Tommy.
Little video clip here. This is kind of impromptu, ladies and gentlemen. Go fire at will, Ron. We'll go with that.
Let me share the screen here again. I hate to
notice the airwaves, ladies and gentlemen, with anything from the mass media cartel, but sometimes you have to hold your nose so we can see what they're up to.
All right. We're almost there. Here we go. Here it comes.
A deadly weekend, it says.
By one individual, and I know that this community is going to come together stronger than ever, more united than ever.
This individual came here with the expressed purpose of taking as many black lives as he possibly could. The shooter was not from this community. In fact, the shooter traveled hours from outside this community to purpose.
Excuse me, can I ask, would it been okay if the guy had been from the community and killed them all? You see how bizarre some of these questions are? Who cares where he's from? Okay.
Of taking as many black lives as he possibly could. The shooter was not from this community. In fact, the shooter traveled hours from outside this community to perpetrate this crime on the people of Buffalo. A day when people were enjoying the sunshine.
Now, if it had been a rainy day, would it have been okay? Don't travel from outside the community on a beautiful sunny day to kill them. Wait for a rainy day and do it locally where you live. Okay.
No, let me ask something.
Oh, you want to read that? That's important.
Let me read that for the audio listeners. It has some captioning, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to just add that if the racially motivated shooter wrote a manifesto that complains about the great replacement and mass immigration, then logically speaking, you would go, and there are many of them everywhere across the country, you would go to a Hispanic community because that would be the kind of so-called people of color that represent those illegally entering the country, mainly through the southern border. So there's an incongruence that the shooter would go after African Americans, aka blacks, rather than those that would more closely identify with illegal immigration. So it's funny how basic questions like that don't get asked. Imagine if he had shot a bunch of Asian people in an Asian part of Buffalo and yet wrote a manifesto about the southern border where very few Asians ever come across. Wouldn't a logical inquiry ask about something that's contradictory or incongruent like that? But anyway, yeah, there's a little bit of captioning here on this 2-minute and 30-second video clip. It says, the great replacement theory holds that white Americans are being replaced by people of color through immigration and interracial marriage. And I would just add also that you'll notice the separation of white Americans by people of color. In other words, there's people of color and then there's white Americans. Well, there's no such thing as a white person, like white as a piece of typing paper. People are tan and light tan and light brown, medium brown, dark brown, super dark brown. And there really are hardly any people that are literally black. And I know I'm going off into sort of a tangent here, but there's discrimination even in that statement that white Americans are bereft or devoid of any color, and only people of color are significant or are the only their lives matter. In other words, it's like white Americans are a separate caste that can be described as being without any color at all. I as someone who's very literal about the use of words, I take umbrage with those kind of statements. That's just the way my brain works. because there's built-in discrimination against European Americans, who are euphemistically called white Americans, right in the mass media cartel statements. We're all Americans, regardless of what shade you are. And they talk about unity. They're the first ones to shatter and tear apart the idea of unity under the guise of claiming they're for unity.
Yeah, Mark.
Total.
Yeah, even here, I have another problem with this statement. It says the theory holds. This is no theory that's going on. This New World Order thing and open borders, there's no theory of open borders. That's a project of the New World Order underway at full blast. That ain't no theory. He said, you've got the only thing you can come up with to explain this type of coverage of this event is that these people are involved in it. The people that write this garbage that we just heard and we are seeing, those people are involved in this event. They're part of it.
Well, yeah, they're either involved or they're ideologically aligned with it, or they prefer it. Yeah, there's some sort of alliance or agreement with these ideas to one degree or another. Yeah, I would only add as a point of clarity, the great replacement theory holds that there was a long scale, a long term pre-planning for all of this. But the thing is Richard Coudenhove Kalergi, who was born of Japanese and Austrian parentage, I believe it is, Japanese and Austrian. He was an Austrian kind of nobleman, in lack of a better word. He was part of the aristocracy, and he believed that people should be inbred in such a way where the European stock would eventually be phased out. These are his own words. This is his own, if you want to call it theory, it was his working theory, Richard Coudenhove Kalergi, the Kalergi plan. It really exists. And the globalist organizations that do not want nationalism or do not want America first and believe in unchecked immigration and the clash of civilizations, they celebrate Kalergi. Kalergi is celebrated at the Carnegie Endowment. Kalergi is celebrated at the Brookings Institution through the CFR networks. This is not anyone's imagination. The mass media cartel is simply trying to short circuit everybody's thinking so they don't look into these things and make up their own mind. Kalergi really did call for the browning, if you will, of the world through miscegenation, meaning there'd be more interracial marriages. One can support or not support interracial marriage as a separate institution. I don't have a real strong opinion either way, but Kalergi, the Kalergi plan, is a real thing. Now, they talk about the great replacement theory, but they don't mention Kalergi. So is this the Kalergi plan, Richard Coudenhove Kalergi, or is this great replacement theory they're referring to something else? They don't make that clear. But the Kalergi plan is real. Look it up. He really proposed such a thing, and he was honored through many of the globalist organizations and think tanks in his life. Now, we'll get on with the video. This all just had to be said for now. Go ahead, Ron.
You want to read that one, too?
Yeah, it says Tucker Carlson of Fox News and House Republican Elise Stefanik have touted that conspiracy theory, the great replacement theory. But again, the Kalergi plan is listed. Anybody can look it up. Go ahead. Boy. Yeah, there's a lot. There's more captions here than I thought.
Yeah, I didn't know it had that many of them.
Yeah, maybe we've seen enough, but the last couple captions, ladies and gentlemen, those that aren't watching the video in real time or on the archive, that goes to livestream.com/Ron Avery, ABERY/StopThePresses. For the audio-only listeners, it said that most of the victims in the alleged shooting were black. I've already talked about how that's not very congruent with someone who opposes Latin American illegal immigration on the southern border. Why wouldn't he go to a Hispanic community? Now it's here, saying here, New York Governor Kathy Hochul, H-O-C-H-U-L, a Democrat, issued a stern challenge, and this is what I was talking about earlier, to social media companies regarding violence. See, so there's this obsession with what's on the internet and obsession with what people are allowed to post and what they're allowed to live stream. There's very little being said about the background of the alleged shooter, and there's no details of the crime. There's no talk about getting a full police report, when that might be available. But so real police work and real journalistic work are not going on here. This is just an ideological witch hunt to try and tarnish everyone on the right politically for the crimes of this one man, this alleged crime. But go on, Ron.
Yeah, Mark, it's also noteworthy that not only did they use crimes like this to create a larger crime, which is the disarmament of the American people, but now they're going to clamp down on the First Amendment. So it's all taking away of your rights in America to defend yourself and to do things like have the freedom of speech to even point out what we're pointing out. They don't want this talked about. They don't want any of the things that are going on in this country talked about. They don't want anything in government talked about. They don't want anything that they're doing to the world talked about. This is all, and then they use an event like this to try to clamp down on this. Unbelievable.
Yeah, let's go a little longer to see if we want to even show any more.
There is much more to do from the social media companies themselves. I want them to sit in a room, look me in the eye, and tell me, have you done everything humanly possible to make sure that you are monitoring this content the second it hits your platform?
And can you imagine? Monitor this. Let's monitor free speech. Let's monitor the American people. Let's monitor, and so they can't say anything we don't like. Here it is. And if you're not, then I'm going to hold you responsible. So they're coming after these so-called platforms.
Yes,
I'm going to hold you responsible.
Okay, that's enough, Ron. Okay, the last thing we'll say is the last caption on this video clip. Gendron, the shooter, 18 years old, alleged shooter, surrendered to police, we're told, at this supermarket in Buffalo, New York, and was arraigned on murder charges. Gosh, you think? What else would it be? Shoplifting? I'm glad they informed us of that, right? But anyway, that's enough of that. I appreciate that, though, Ron. It shows the shallowness of the way that the media handles this and the local government in the state of New York and around Buffalo. Up there by near Niagara Falls, not far from the Pennsylvania border. Anyway, the situation is pretty dire in terms of them casting such a wide net. In fact, talking about the alleged shooter, Mr. Gendron, G-E-N-D-R-O-N, being arraigned for murder, is the only thing they've really said about him in the aftermath of the so-called shooting. Everything has been about social media and monitoring what people post and questioning, as I quoted the New York Times earlier, questioning the very idea of live streaming. And then the only question remains, Ron, is how far will the camel's nose be poked in the tent of free speech? And of course, the First and Second Amendment pretty much go hand in hand. One is kind of used to protect the other in sort of a both directions kind of thing. They are the first two amendments for the reason. They're not number 7 and 8 for a reason. They're the most important ones of the Bill of Rights.
It's a matter of free speech anymore. It's a matter of free content. There is content that will not be allowed. So you can talk all you want to as long as it's supporting our agenda.
Yeah, what I see in this, now this is speculation. Some of what we're saying today is speculation. Some is not. Again, the Kalergi plan is a real thing. His last name is spelled K-A-L-E-R-G-I. Richard Kalergi. Kodenhove is a kind of an odd middle name. Born of a Japanese mother, and I believe it was an Austrian father, an aristocrat from Central Europe there, that proposed this browning of the world through interracial marriage and a deliberate policy. Again, it's not being made clear whether the so-called great replacement theory allegedly espoused by the shooter in Buffalo is the same thing as the well-known and well-established and long-honored in the internationalist think tanks Kalergi plan. That almost can't be stressed enough. I'm talking facts there. Now, speculation is in terms of what not only what actually happened, but, you know, did he really write this manifesto? And you know, what's going to become of all this? It's Ron, maybe you have some things to add here. Where this is all headed, it's only a question of degree. Here's what I was thinking. I didn't want to lose my train of thought. This is speculation, but it seems to me, just because I've been in this business a long time, it seems to me the mass media cartel knows it's in trouble, and they're trying to create these broad kind of events where they cast the net very widely to create kind of a leverage point where they can begin to create a legal framework by which their competition in the alternative media can be strictly limited in their viewership or shut down completely. They're trying to set some sort of precedent to get rid of their competition because they know in a fair fight, they'll lose the attention of the American people, the American news consumer. They're already losing the American and other news consumers, and they know it. They've got to come up with some pretext to block the alternative media from taking them down completely. I know I'm casting a wide net myself, and I'm accusing them of that, and I'm speculating. I'm being totally clear about that and totally honest, but take it from there, Ron. That's what I feel could be down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I really have nothing to add to that. I think that's a pretty good assessment of what's going on.
Well, I'm trying to extrapolate, and I realize that's a shaky thing to do to keep your facts straight. But to come all the way back to the facts, I would certainly like to see, and I'll be calling the Buffalo police in due time. I'll let the dust settle a little more. I want a copy of the police report. Now, in the fall of 2018, I wrote to the Dallas State Police and local police in and around Sutherland Springs, Texas, in the orbit of San Antonio, kind of to the southeast of San Antonio, where that November 5th, 2017 First Baptist Church shooting took place, we're told. And I tried to get a police report then, and I was given 11 of 86 pages, and even those 11 pages I was given were heavily redacted. All that was left, with almost no exceptions, was a list of names and phone numbers, really no narrative. I wanted to know details. I won't get into what details I wanted to know, other than just to say that things looked very different physically at the church than they did compared to what we were told happened. That being said, I was only given 11 of 86 pages. I knew it was 86 total because it said 10 of 86, 11 of 86, 12 of 86. But once it got past page 11, everything was blackened out, everything. Only the first 11 pages had some parts unredacted. Now, if that's not giving me the short straw in terms of me asking for hard official data on that shooting, I don't know what is. And so yeah. I don't know what'll happen with Buffalo, but I want to try again because I want to look at what their claims are by the police own words, not filtered through the media. We do have a call around. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, I just don't think you'll ever see it, Mark. I don't think they're going to let you see anything like that.
It'll be interesting to find out. Nevertheless, though, we'll always give them a chance. I'm sorry, Pat from Texas. We do go on a bit. We had to kind of get around a caller that went off topic just a little bit. If you're still with us, you can throw your two cents in. We only have about 2 or 3 minutes left. If you're there, Pat.
I can't think of the name of the warfare fought on all sides. So that's what they're doing right now. They would like to take away your guns. They would like to start a racist war See, you can look at it like the abortion thing. Okay, let's take their mind off of that. Or let's make it an anti-black, since 11 of those, 9 of those people were black. But there's some black judges on the Supreme Court. I'm changing the subject too, I guess. But not really, because all those Muslims are coming against Clarence Thomas. They're another race, and they were put here illegally, some of them up in Minnesota by Bill Clinton. He put 10,000 of them up there, and now pretty soon it's 100,000. And so they can stand there and tell us what to do about that we should abort our kids. Okay. Where does the racism end, and where does... see, that's what they want to do, change it to something else or fight it on all sides. So right now... If we could get some mercy from God, I think we'd have a few more years left to fight about all the rest of the stuff. But I like the one out in California where a whole community of old people, church was hit this weekend by another Asian, and they're all Asians, and they didn't even have guns. So he got 4 of them, but the other 5. He didn't have a automatic weapon. He had to stop it loaded. And when he did, the pastor of the church, he hit him over the head with a tray, with a chair, and all the rest of them hog tied him up.
That's what the press claims in a Southern California Asian church. Again, taking the press at face value, a difficult thing these days, but for the sake of discussion, we'll do that for now. Thanks, Pat. We do got to go, but thanks for throwing your 2 cents in. Sorry I couldn't give you more time. So we'll move on. But, Ron, any final observations?
No, I don't think so. I think we covered that pretty good, to just shoot from the hip like that.
Yeah, part of the fun out there. Of course, none of this should be construed ever as a lack of sympathy for those who reportedly were killed by this alleged assailant in this event, the reality of which we need to establish a little better. We in the alternative media kind of back up and try to reconstruct what happened a little bit. But also, we try to ask the basic questions that the press won't ask and point out the superfluous and unnecessary and ultimately unconstitutional things that they are pursuing in the press, which, of course, takes them away from doing what they should be doing, and that's their job. So, there we go. It was great to be back on the air today. I should be live again this coming Wednesday. Lots going on professionally and personally these days. But Ron, thanks for getting back with me after your hiatus.
Great to be back.
Okay, everybody, have a great day. Stay tuned for the next show here on RBN. I'm your host, Mark Anderson. We'll see you next time on Stop the Presses.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight 4 of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.